Water Banter.
Boom, and we are live with another episode of the Brown Water Banter podcast. My name is Jared Seymour.
My name is Joey Case.
Caught him on the delay. That's right. We got a great show for you in the studio again for the second time. The executive director of the Mississippi Department of Marine Resources, Mr. Joe Spraggins, in the studio. We're going to be talking about Bonnie Carey Spillway today, I think, is the topic we said we're going to discuss. We've partnered up with the DMR to do a few episodes. This is the second or third, Joey?
This is the third one,
and I believe we said we got two more.
Yep.
And then probably, hopefully, going to continue the partnership throughout the year where they come in the studio and talk to us about a bunch of different topics that they've got going on in an effort to get the information out to the community, hopefully the fishing community, and that way y'all know what they got going on, the types of things they're doing behind the scenes. It's just a good way to spread information, and we're very glad to have him in the studio and the partnership as well. But before we do that, we're going to jump to our other sponsors who keep the lights on for us over here in the Brownwater studio. Dr. Robbie Williams over at Southern Magnolia Smiles, man. If you're looking for a great local dentist, hit him up on Facebook and Instagram at Southern Magnolia Smiles. You can book that appointment with him. He's located, like I say, right there, Washington Avenue in Ocean Springs. Give him a shout at 228-215-1202. If you find yourself in need for legal representation for any reason, our buddy Tyler over at Taylor & Cox Law Firm, you need to give them a shout. They specialize in felonies, misdemeanors, DUI, family law, divorce, child custody issues, you name it, they can represent you. They've been practicing law on the Mississippi Gulf Coast for over 30 years. You can give them a shout at 228-696-0111. You got a new billboard. Yeah, yeah, over there on the Washington Avenue.
I was texting,
looking good. Rocky Brooks over at Sea to Swamp. You can check them out on Facebook as well. Sea, the number two, and then Swamp. He's got all your tackle and apparel needs covered. He's got two locations now in Goshen and Gulfport. He's slinging kayaks, man. He's got the store's busting at the seams over there. It's looking really good. He's carrying some of the local brands like us and Charter Trash, Fish in the South. So we appreciate that. Give him a shout, 228-205-3964, and tell him that Brownwater sent you. Kendrick, our buddy at Forever Young Men and Women's Health, looked him up on Facebook as well. If you're finding yourself feeling tired, lethargic, you can't get off the couch, you're just feeling like an overall big turd, as we like to say, go get Kendrick. Give him a call. Let him do some lab work on you. Put your health care in the hands of a professional. See if you need hormone replacement. Maybe you need testosterone. Maybe you're vitamin deficient. Kendrick can figure it out. Give him a call, book that consultation, and bring your lady friend with you because he does specialize in men and women. So 228-363-6623 and tell him that we sent you. And that's going to bring it up for the sponsors. We're also coming off of the weekend. Man, we had a great weekend over in D'Iberville at Dewey Do Bugs with the 2024 Bay Rat Bash. We want to thank everybody that participated in that, that came out, that hung out. The turnout was amazing. We had an absolute beautiful day. The weather was perfect. A lot of smiling faces, a lot of kids fished the tournament. We had a lot of prizes that we gave away, so we want to thank everybody for supporting us there. So let's jump right into it. The Bonnie Carey Spillway is definitely something that if you live here on the Gulf Coast, whether you're really in the fishing community or not, that you're aware of. That was 22 whenever we opened it up, and it caused all the
2019.
Issues. 2019. Wow, time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. So where should we start with that? Should we start from the very beginning and like explain to people that maybe aren't completely familiar with the topic?
Sure. And I'll give you a little bit of background on it. I mean, it was obviously built in 1928 to 31 time frame, and it was because of the flood in New Orleans in the time frame and what happened. And one of the things was to be able to go in and build some type of spillway to help offset that when the river was reached to a certain stage to keep from flooding the city of New Orleans.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Which we all know is in a bowl underneath sea level.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And it has worked great to do that, but it only opened like six times from 1928 all the way to 2008.
Wow.
And six to eight, I may have been eight times, I think. But anyway, long story short, in 2008 it opened, and then again it opened in 2011, and that was a major. And then it opened again in 2016, then again in 2018, then again in 2019.
Okay.
And then a small opening in 2020. But so you see the trend. The trend's going, it's opening a whole lot more.
Right.
And the reason why it's opening a lot more is a couple of things. The things that are happening north of the state of Mississippi.
Okay.
All right, because there's a lot of things going up through the Mississippi River. It comes all the way from Canada You know, and it's a lot of things what they've done to be able to stop the river from being able to expand and do what it needs to do by nature.
Right.
And because of that, it's causing the river to flow harder and mm-hmm. come straight down. And so that, plus we've had record rainfalls in the, you know, in the West and in the central part of the United States over the last few years. Also, we had record snow. And when snow melts,
turns into water
somewhere.
That's right. And guess what? 31 states feed into the Mississippi River.
Yeah.
31 different tributaries.
It's a big artery to get down to the Gulf of Mexico, for sure.
So that's the background.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask you, when you said they're doing things north of Mississippi to prevent the river from naturally expanding, does that mean they're damming things? Are they
taking over wetlands,
actively preventing what nature would do?
The same thing we've done and others have done. You know, when you berm it in any formable way,
yes, sir.
When you build a levee, when you do anything else, you know, you're stopping the natural flow of the water and what it's supposed to do.
Okay.
And so there's a lot of different things that have happened with that. What we're trying to do is trying to figure out how can we change the way it's working. Nature's going to be nature. You can't stop it.
Correct. Okay?
Water's going to go. Got to go somewhere.
Right. Yeah. And whatever God wants to give us is what we're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to figure out what can we do to maybe offset what we already did. In other words, we've made the mistake. Now see what can we do to correct it.
Right.
And what we were looking at is some way to limit the amount of time that the Bonnie Carey is open and how long it's open.
Right.
So we're working with the Corps of Engineers right now, and the Corps is doing a lower river study, and that's basically south of Missouri type thing, and the lower river study in that area, but mainly where Mississippi. And it's mainly the, you know, the Delta in here and then that area down in New Orleans. So what they're trying to do is find out what can they do that would, you know, change some of this. Mm-hmm. You have the other one, it's called the Morganza,
yes, sir,
which is up around Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
And it was built in the 1950s. Well, obviously for the same reason. And so what we have to do, we have to figure out what will it take to be able, the Baton Rouge one, when it was built, the let's just say the people in Louisiana got pretty smart, and they basically had a mitigation deal put in there. So if it opened up, they got mitigation for their damage.
Okay.
And so you got to look at that and you think about it. And Morgan City's at the end of that. So if you open up the Morganza and let too much water go down the Atchafalaya, then it's going to go in and flood out to see the Morgan City in that area. And then it's plus it's going to take all the areas out there, the cattle farms, and then that's where a lot of your crawfish come from.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In that area.
Yeah, so we don't want to ruin that.
No. Well, it's already ruined.
Right. Yeah. Also true. Also true.
But, you know, it's not ruined. It was just the dry season got him, mm-hmm. and that in the cold. But anyway, that's what we're looking at. And so the way it's set up, the Bonnie Carey is set to open up when the Mississippi River reaches 1.25 million cubic feet per second at the river gauge, and the gauge is above 17 feet. So the sea level, you know, on the levee.
Right.
It used to be 20. They lowered it to 17 because they was concerned about the actual levee itself and holding up.
Right.
Breaching, yeah.
Right, and to breach a levee. So you think that's it. Well, you know, and if you want to think about it, the Bonnie Carey is sitting just north of Lake Pontchartrain. Okay, you go straight north out of there, and you run up to Baton Rouge, and that's where, just north of Baton Rouge, is where the Morganza is. Mm-hmm. And the old river structure. The old river structure was there for, you know, before that.
Okay.
And so the idea at the Morganza would open when the Mississippi River reaches 1 million cubic feet per second and 20 feet on the gauge. Well, you'd sit there and you'd say, well, Lord, why don't they open it long before they open up the Bonnie Carey?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
But if you look at it and you think about the Mississippi River and how it flows, and you get to Vicksburg, and what does it do? It takes a turn to the mm-hmm. right, and then it takes a turn back to the left, which slows itself down. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it slows, and then it's got a long straight run south mm-hmm. till it gets there. So it builds up a lot of steam and a lot of speed.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's naturally slowing itself down by the Morganza, and then once it gets past the Morganza, it's straight
right.
out to the Gulf.
That's mm-hmm. right.
Yeah.
And so how do we stop? How do we do something to, you know, mitigate that? We've talked with the Corps about a possibility of looking at, could you open up just a 10 to 20% of the Morganza, even though it didn't reach the 1 billion cubic feet per second, and you know, or the 20 feet on the gauge, and then relieve some pressure.
Right.
And that's a possibility.
Because this is a capacity issue, right? Like, how much capacity can the Morganza handle versus how much can the Bonnie Carey handle? And then can we work together to not just say, well, we didn't reach the marker here, but we reached it here. And now it, Bonnie Carey's taken all of it and then reaching its capacity to then shut it back off and well, not, right?
The last time they opened up Morganza was 2011. They didn't even open it up in 2019. When
right.
we took such a brutal beating down
right.
here,
mm-hmm.
it was not opened.
Right.
Had it been opened, it could have helped some. All right. I got an alternative.
Okay.
All right. There's a couple of scientists out of Louisiana State University that have looked at it and come up with two possible options. Excuse me. One of them is the Alma and one of them the Union. And they're two different diversions. Both of them are between the Morganza and the Bonnie Carey.
Okay. Okay.
All right. And what they would do is they're like a weir. And they would only open up once the river reaches a certain stage. And the one that, if you're coming south out of Baton Rouge, and you'll hit the Alma first, and the Alma feeds to the west out into a cypress forest
okay.
type deal. All right? It could relieve somewhere around 50,000 cubic feet per second.
That's so, pretty substantial.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's if a river got up high enough and it could get in there, then it would be opened up and it would leave and it would start relieving some pressure to the west. Then just south of there, if at one and it would open up at 1 million cubic feet per second. Mm-hmm. All right. Is what it would work off of. And the one south of there, which you call the Union diversion, would feed into the east side. And it's just north of the Bonnie Carey and it's a cypress forest. All right, what'll happen there is that it'll only push 25,000 cubic feet per second, but if you're taking 50,000 here and 25,000 here, then there's a chance that it would limit the amount of time, if not stop, the opening of the Bonnie Carey.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is the water that's coming to the east going to get into the Mississippi Sound? Yes, it's going to get there eventually.
It all runs south, yeah.
Yeah, it's all going to get there, but the thing about it is that 25,000 cubic feet per second would run through a forest, which would take all the nutrients out of it, and the nutrients are more damaging than the fresh water.
Oh, really?
Yeah, what's in the nutrients is what's killing a lot of the things that we're doing. So when you think about the nutrients in the water, that's what we need to look at too. Well, this would take 90% of the nutrients out, and it would be a trickle into Lake Pontchartrain,
mm-hmm.
and it wouldn't be a flow into Lake Pontchartrain. So that would help us a whole lot. Just to give you an idea, according to the scientists, they looked at it and they felt like that had we have had both of those weirs, that it would have cut 30 to 45 days off of the opening of the Bonnie Carey in 2019.
That's a lot.
Millions of gallons
yes.
of water.
Yeah, that's a huge amount.
Right.
So what we're trying to do, Louisiana is willing to pay for it with their money that they have. And what we're trying to do is work with the Corps and get them to look at it. And that's what I asked them. I said, please look at this, those two diversions, when you're looking at the Lower River study. Look at those two diversions. Tell us what it is. Now, I don't want nothing against Louisiana. I
right.
think, you know, they're good people. Everybody
for
over
sure.
there good. But I want a Mississippi version of it. I want to know what we want to do. What do we think about it? Is it really going to work the way that I'm thinking?
Right.
So I'm working now and getting Mississippi State and Southern Miss to do another study. And once they do that study, it will tell me what that will do. And if that marries up to what Louisiana has, then that would be great news.
Right.
And if it even gets better or worse, we could figure it out.
Right.
So big picture here, is it the core that control? I know you mentioned the criteria, how mm-hmm. fast it's flowing and how high it's got to be on the levee. That's in place. Who is in control of setting those numbers and who's in control of is managing the right word, whether when it's opened and closed? Is that the Corps of
the
Engineers?
Corps.
Okay. And then what I think I'm hearing you say is, it sounds to me like we haven't had real representation, a seat at the table to discuss any of this over the past however many years. Is that correct?
Well,
we've been kind of left out of it just to be the
fell
ones.
Fell on a deaf ear.
Yeah, you think that, you know, the Mississippi River Commission, Mississippi has not had a representative on it since the 1970s.
It's named after us.
I know. How
and
do
we
you
don't have a representative?
No.
That's not right.
And,
yeah.
you know, I don't want to throw hatchets, that's what I'm after, but there's
correct.
A representative from Louisiana. There's, I think, one from Missouri, and then there's one from Arkansas or somewhere else. It's only a handful of them.
Okay.
All right. And we thought we had a chance when the one of them came off, and I think he was out of Missouri. And he was coming out, and he'd been on there forever. Well, we said, well, you know, it's a chance for us to get somebody in there. We tried hard to get somebody and pushing to do it. Well, they came back and said, well, we're going to put his son in there.
Oh, that was nice of them.
And and they said he graduated Mississippi State University, so that's close enough.
Yeah,
you know,
it's close enough.
I'm just, go Dawgs!
Right.
But,
right.
You know, great man, nothing against it.
Yeah.
But they don't really have a say-so. Everybody thinks if we had that, we'd have a say-so. They don't have a whole lot of say-so. The Corps of Engineers is driven by what they are given by Washington. And, the Corps itself, this is just one division of the Corps. It's not the whole Corps of Engineers.
Right.
And they look at it, and they have a lot of things to look at. Number one is, what do I have to do? What can I do? What's the best thing I can do? Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest with you, it really upset me when I saw the last document to come out with the Corps when they talked about the Bonnie Carey in 2019, and they come back and basically said that they saw no effect on the Mississippi Sound.
That's crazy.
Unbelievable.
That just says. I mean, I understand there's different people with different perspectives, but that's not scientifically sound, right? Like, where did they get that?
We obviously, I think there's another thing to it. I believe that General Kaiser, when he was a two-star over, me and him were very close, and I talked to him about it, and we talk about it, and he basically told me one time, he said, you know, the difference is if I open up Morganza, it's going to cost me $5 million.
Mm-hmm. Always comes back to money.
Well,
and
yeah,
he
yeah.
said that if I open Bonnie Carey, it don't cost me anything other than what, you know, to open.
Well, and I was going to say that a minute ago. You mentioned Morgan City being at risk, yeah. And then and you mentioned things that are even north of that, right, where people have
Baton
all
Rouge.
These vested interests with
yeah.
that, and then even further north than that.
Right, right.
It's like, well, just kick the can down the road, and then it ends all the way up to the Mississippi Sound,
right.
Where you – they probably think, and you don't have the photos of flooded neighborhoods and flooded homes when you flood the Sound. The difference is, and we saw it in 19, is that what it does to, like, our oysters, you know, they're
like
already having problems,
yeah,
right?
The turtles, dolphins.
Then the tourism industry, and I include charter captains and all that into that, the hotels, the everything is affected, but it's harder to visualize that on the evening news, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah, and the thing about it is, taking out a fishery or taking out something like oysters and all, they'll look back and they say, "Oh, it'll regenerate. Nature will put
correct,
it back."
Correct, correct.
And that's the way they look at it. But that is, you know, they don't realize what it does.
Right.
We're in 2024, and we have not had an oyster season since 18. Does that tell you something?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Because
wiping out a whole species.
We saw at the Mississippi Gulf Fish and Banks meeting. Was it one of y'all's representatives did a? I don't think you were there that meeting. Presentation on the oysters and where we were to where we are, and it's concerning.
Yep. Oh,
especially
it is.
When you realize how many gallons of water, I forget the number, that one oyster filters in an hour.
It's 50 to 60 gallons a day.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of water for one oyster, you know. It means something.
But, you know, we've got to, you know, fresh water is okay to a point. We need it in the summertime. We need some fresh water.
Mm-hmm.
But this time of the year, right now, we don't need the fresh water.
No.
And, and that's usually when the Bonnie Carey opens. It's around March, April time frame. And so that's where, you know, it's too cold. The water's still too cold. There's not enough salinity to break it off.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at a lot of other things. They are doing another study. The Corps of Engineers has been given some money, and they've also got a grant to be able to look at the Pearl River. And, I don't know if you're familiar with the Wauke Bluff. I'm getting off on another tangent,
but it
all comes back into this.
Yes, sir.
The Wauke Bluff is just around Monticello, over around Monticello in that area, just south of there. And what it was done, it was built back in the 90s, and it was built to be able to stop the flow of the Pearl, because the Pearl was trying to drift by nature to the west. And so the idea was to make it to where it went 50% to the west, 50% to the east, and which would make it work better. And it had been coming to the east all the way up to that point. It had come to the east, you know, more to, and so they was trying to make it work. Well, they built a big weir there, and obviously it failed. And instead of fixing it, they just left it alone. And so now 70% of the water is going to the west and 30% is going to the east. And the east is what we get. Mm-hmm. Well, Lake Pontchartrain's getting blasted by the 70. They don't want it either. It's too much. Mm-hmm. We need more because two or three things could happen. You think about it. When that fresh water comes out of the Pearl, it's natural fresh water and it's not polluted fresh water mm-hmm. like it's coming out of the Mississippi. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's bringing good water to us. Plus, that helps in the summertime. It brings the salinity level down, and which docks the drills down, which, you know, saves a lot of the oysters, you know, on the bottom, because the drills, once it gets up to about 18 to 20, they'll start just eating you alive. And a little oyster drill will do a lot of damage.
Okay.
Yeah. And so then we're looking at that. And so the next thing is that it's good for, too, if a Bonnie Carey was to open, it could help push that water south.
Okay.
And so it would help us a little bit there, excuse me. And it could help push the water a little bit south.
Okay.
When it came down, did it go toward – I remember all of it happened. How much did Louisiana get out of it?
Well, Louisiana got wiped out too. I mean, you know, everything, Lake Pontchartrain, the Rigolets, all the way over you know, the Biloxi Marsh and everything in those areas, they got wiped out too because some of it went to the west.
Right.
All right. And then the majority of it went to the east. It's all depending on, you know, on a natural – we have that flow from the west to the east of the movement of the water.
Yeah.
All right. And so that's what happened. What happened, though, in 19 is the first time in history that anybody has anything recorded that the Mississippi Sound from Pascagoula all the way over to Bay St. Louis, Waveland was zero salinity.
That's nuts.
Well, no oyster can live in that.
No. And then along with the pesticides and herbicides and everything else.
And that's what
down
caused
with
the little blue-green algae, those type things. And we found out it wasn't as dangerous as we thought, but it's still not helping any. You know, it's still sucking air out of the water. When, you know, that algae's just sucking air and sucking oxygen straight out of it, and which can cause a lot of, you know, issues with that because of the oysters especially. You know, they can't live without it.
They can't move, yeah.
And now, you know, a finfish, he's going to move on out, and a crab's going to try to get away, and a shrimp's going to try to get away, but it came back, and we're still having issues with that shrimp because what happened was, you know, it took a lot of the spawning because when those shrimp start to come out of the bays and go back out into the deep water, well, if they can't make it because they die, then, you know, you lose the whole season almost of it. And now, will they come back? Yes, they'll come back. There'll be some of them, but it's going to take years to do it. Mm-hmm. And just to take an oyster bed from zero and bring it up, 4 to 5 years minimum.
Yeah. I think we're seeing that with the flounder, too.
Yeah,
the flounder got destroyed, and now they're coming back this year. It's about five years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're getting different ones back. I mean, the crabs are coming back.
Yeah.
But, you know, it takes time. When you wipe out something like that, it takes time. And then it's not necessarily just that. What did it do to the grasses? What did it do to the other things? It's got to take all that time to rebuild, too.
It's a fragile ecosystem.
That's right. So,
and not even counting the people who were put out of jobs, who didn't get to go out, oysters, of course,
yep,
grabbers, any of that stuff, charter boat captains. Yeah, all of them were out of a job, pretty much.
And then what it did to my plate at the half shell when I tried to the price of the thing, you know, raises that up too. So,
yeah.
Well, I don't know.
You know, it affected everything. And, you know, obviously it affected everything as much as you could possibly be affected. And we've got to find out. Hopefully we're working with the Corps. We also have the Gulf Coast Coalition, Sound Coalition, that's working with us, and we're helping them. And, you know, giving them money to help do different studies and do things to be able to look at it. They're the ones that filed the lawsuits. So, you know, hopefully it's something that we can keep fighting.
I was going to ask you that when we had the lieutenant governor here in Delbert Hoseman. We talked to him about it. He was Secretary of State at the time when that happened, which I didn't know really the
fell on him.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I had to look all that up. You know, I was kind of felt good to learn a little bit about state government through this incident, that is like his department. Mm-hmm. Where are we at, do you know, with those lawsuits still? I mean, are they still in litigation?
His lawsuit may have got thrown out because he did sue for the state.
Okay.
But now there is still a lawsuit that is being done by the coalition. And they did get Judge Gargiulo, and he, you know, he made a ruling. And he said that one of the things, which was the first time we've ever had anything, was the fact that the Corps must correspond now with the NMFS, which is the National Marine Fisheries. And so they must, you know, correspond with them about what they're doing. Now, does that mean anything? I don't know. Mm-hmm. It could, if it could not. NMFS can sit there and say, well, you can't, you know, if you do this, this is what's going to happen to us.
They go, okay.
No, all right,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, yeah, and then they just like, all right. Heard
right, we right. Heard thanks you. For telling me. Yeah,
yeah, we heard you.
Open but it up.
It doesn't say you have to not open it. Now, there's nobody asking. I don't think there's a single soul in America, and there might be some of them, but there's not many that's sitting there saying, let's flood New Orleans
correct.
And not worry about it. We're
yes.
not trying to
yeah,
do
yeah, correct.
Yeah, that's no, but, you know, we want our neighbors to be okay too, but they gotta. There has to be a happy medium somewhere.
Correct. Mm-hmm. We can't get it all dumped on us.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds to me too like from what you're saying, it's like there's a lot of people. Like not everybody's talking to everybody at the time that these decisions are maybe being made, or maybe there's not even a table of discussion that's out nope. there to have to. What are the options on the table other than just leaving this one open and letting her run until this one particular region is okay, right? You named two more that could be potential options, and I'm sure there's probably more than that if everybody coordinated together.
Well, and you know, like I said, but before Mississippi did even – they – the Corps didn't even call us or say anything
right.
to anybody.
Right.
And now we've got them, you know, I've been, when I was working with Kaiser changed that for me. And it would be to where that they would have to talk to us and they would have to tell us whenever they're going to look at opening, they have to give us warning. They have to talk to us about it. Doesn't stop anything if it's open, you know, mm-hmm. it's just part of it. We can sit there and plead our case with them a little bit more, you know, and argue back and forth, but they're going to do what they think is right. I mean, the Corps of Engineers does a great job in a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying they're not
right.
Doing
no, I don't think anybody's yeah. saying that for sure.
Which,
it's just
the lawsuit was that against the Corps?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To the Corps.
Okay. The one from the state was.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I think the one also from the coalition was.
Against the Corps.
Yeah.
Who made up the coalition? Was that?
That's well, it's made up by the mayors of
okay.
of some of the cities, and then a couple of supervisors.
Okay.
And then Gerald Blessy and Robert Wobble, and then Moby with is the scientist on it.
Okay.
And so, you know, we've got some people looking at it, and we're doing another study that we're about to finish. We know, talking about, I know we're getting off of the Bonnie Carey, but when you get over to the Mid-Britain diversion that they're trying to build south of New Orleans, you know, that was another one that Louisiana wanted to build. Well, they kept saying it's not going to do anything, not going to hurt you, it's not going to do anything at all. Well, I paid for a study, and Southern Miss and Mississippi State did that study and come back and said that if they build that,
mm-hmm.
it will wipe us out year-round.
Wow.
I mean, it will basically wipe out with the water, the salinity of the water, and what it'll push, and the way it pushes it, it'll come right into the Mississippi Sound.
Mm-hmm.
And it will, I mean, it'll affect all the way to Mobile.
Well, that's what I was.
Wow.
I know we're screaming about this. Louisiana got affected. Are they screaming, or they're like, okay, New Orleans is safe, Baton Rouge is safe. Are they still trying to protect theirs?
You're talking about the Louisiana fisheries?
Yeah, like, yeah, like the bottom.
They didn't catch it, did they?
They got affected. Yeah, they got, you know, they got $50 million
from
commerce. There was $88 million left in the pot.
Right.
Mississippi got $22 million of it. They got $55 million or something in that neighborhood. And even Alabama got $8 million and didn't.
Well, that's what I was going to ask.
Didn't deserve a dime.
Is Alabama screaming too? Yeah.
What was the pot, though? I'm confused. I don't remember there. What was the pot?
It was $88
million. No, where did that come from?
It came from commerce. The Secretary of Commerce, they have a National Fisheries Disaster Law.
Okay. Oh, okay. I did not know that. That's the first I've heard of that.
And, I mean, don't get me wrong. They did, you know, and the problem is it's Louisiana, and I'm not throwing a hatchet at them at Commerce. That's not what we're trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Because what Commerce did is take nowhere and them take what you turn in. Well, Mississippi's border is so much smaller than Louisiana's border
right.
that they could turn in a lot more disaster.
Right.
And
could report more.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's why they got more money. Alabama got it. I don't know how, but they got some of it.
Bobby Labatchie.
They had somebody filling something out.
Well,
yeah.
Fresh water.
When Senator Shelby saw that they got $8 million, he told everybody to shut up and sign the paperwork. But I'm
exactly.
just joking.
Yeah. I can't blame them.
Well, they do. I mean, a lot of their guys fit shrimp over here. A lot of them pull over here. Mm-hmm. A lot of that stuff, too. So I could see kind of where they're going at. You know what
I'm saying? And I want to tell you something else. I don't know if you know this or not, but you know, all right, Alabama got $8 million. Louisiana got $55 million, roughly $50-something million, and we got $22 million. Do you know that we're the only state that are paying the fishermen?
I was going to ask you that, not specifically.
And that program's going on right now.
We're in phase two of the shrimp fishery part of it. We've already taken care of a lot of it, and we've got the oysters and shrimp, and we're in phase two of it. And we can pay, and I won't be exact, but it's right at $108,000 per person.
Right.
For what they lost in that year. Now, if you're a huge, big shrimper, and you know, and you lost more than that than what you would have done the years before in Mississippi, you might have made it up and lose in Florida or somewhere else down there because you're big enough to go out there.
Right.
But our small ones, the ones that just fish in Mississippi Sound and in the area around here, they're the one that hurt, and so we're getting them as much as we can to make them whole.
You know how you mentioned earlier that cypress forest, how it can filter that water before it sends it back out to the Sound? You mentioned that. Sometimes I feel like that's what government does, but in the reverse. They filter it out and keep it and send it to the wrong places, and it doesn't end up to the fishermen or the people who truly deserve it or need it. I'm glad to hear that Mississippi did that, and you're telling me that Louisiana and even Alabama,
Louisiana, I don't know what Alabama did any at all to amount to anything, but Louisiana basically tells you that you have to, if you need a new piece of equipment on your boat or whatever, we'll pay you back up to a certain amount for that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mississippi's doing that too.
And giving them
and
money. Right.
And I mean, you just think of a shrimper that lost over $100,000 in that year.
Yeah, he don't want a new trawl or, you know.
And now that's something they can come back on.
Right.
And, you know, we started out where you got $7,500 if you're a shrimper, and you got $15,000 if you was an oyster person. And the reason we did that is because the oysters didn't have any season, still don't, and the shrimpers have had seasons since 2019.
Right.
You know, so we tried to make it work. Now, then we came back after phase one. That was phase one as a general payout. Now we're looking at it, and you turn in your trip tickets and everything else to show what you did from 2014 to 2019, you know, in that time frame. And if you had whatever loss you had up to $108,000 in that, and it can only be to one person now. In other words, if you got four boats, I can't pay you for four boats that lost that. I can only pay you once.
Right.
Okay.
But at least that's giving you something. Mm-hmm. And so now we are giving those checks out now. I'm signing them every day.
Yeah.
For up to $108,000. So some people are getting another, basically $102,000, $100,000.
Now, that decision to send it to the fishermen, was made at the legislative level? Was that our guys in Jackson that made that decision?
They were there with us. It was the decision made by Department of Marine Resources, but don't get me wrong, and the governor.
Okay.
And the governor. You know, the governor was big, strong in it, and our legislators were too. They were wrote in on everything that we were doing, and they agreed with us that, you know, this would be a great thing to do.
So when Commerce dispersed that, it went to y'all to then see how you determine how to do it.
We know what when Commerce said the disaster's here.
Right.
Now you turn in what your disaster was. And so we turned in, and I think it was like $90 million or something like that, or over $100 million. Well, and what it could come back. And so Commerce comes back and says, okay, now here's what we can give you. But, you know,
20.
Yeah. Close. Yeah, it was close. Yeah.
Well, you know,
better than nothing.
But New Orleans, I mean, Louisiana may have turned in $300 million.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
You know, right. But the point I'm getting at is then you come back and you say, okay, here we are. And they said, now give me a plan how you're going to spend it.
And y'all came up with that plan.
And we come up with a plan and we sit down and we go over it and we come up with a plan and we sent the plan out and we sent it out on public notice and everything else to let people look at it. And then we come back and we have to work with NOAA, and NOAA has to approve our plan, in which they get pretty nitpicky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this.
Red tape everywhere.
Yeah, and so it took over a year and a half, 2 years to get it through all that. And Janet Court, she's the head of marine fisheries for NOAA.
Mm-hmm.
And Janet's doing a great job. Now, she came out of Rhode Island. She was the executive director for Rhode Island Fishery Department.
Really?
So she understands. She was a state director. She mm-hmm. understands what's going on. And Janet looked at it, and we were talking about it. She said, this is totally uncalled for. It's taken 3 to 4 years for you to get your money. Why?
Mm-hmm.
And so she's fighting hard to help us. She is doing a fantastic job trying to help us out.
Yeah,
but we appreciate her, and it it's just a battle every day. You know, it's something every time you turn around, it's a new battle.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the show and talking with us about this, because I think that's the things that y'all do that people don't know enough about, right? Like, I didn't realize that that money would go to y'all and that y'all have to develop that plan and get it approved and then get it out to the shrimpers and stuff like that. So that's why I'm proud to be doing these types of episodes. Yeah. People can get that information. We had a couple questions come through. I'll read out. This one was a little earlier here. So I'm going to read it, and then I'll try to explain what I think they mean by it. It says, so why not use the money to open the other spillway that they don't want to open because it costs $5 million? So I think what the question was, you mentioned earlier, one of those spillways, a guy made a comment just to open that one up. Was it the Morganza?
Yeah, the Morganza. More expensive.
Was it $5 million per opening or $5 million a day?
What was that? He just said it's going to cost me $5 million to open it. And okay. Now, that would mean that Morgan City would have to put in some type of a blockade in which they go in and put in, which cost a lot of money to do that.
Okay.
That would mean some other things that would happen. And so, and I guess it was a situation. And here's another thing that I think is maybe an issue. The Corps were going to have to pay that $5 million. Mm-hmm. The Corps didn't have to pay anything that happens to the Mississippi Sound.
Right.
Yeah. That comes out of common.
So that when I read the comment, it's kind of not of an apples to apple comparison. I know where I feel like I know what the comment was saying. Why not just spend the five if you're going to be doing 55 to New Orleans or Louisiana?
Because it ain't money.
It would have been cheaper, but it ain't a direct comparison.
Right. Yeah.
And that was also would have been preemptive $5 million, which no one wants to spend, versus after the fact is when everybody, okay, well, here's the checks now. Sorry. Yeah. That's always how that works out. Yeah. Matt Westover asked, he said, so does this mean, I think when you were talking about the 108,000 to shrimpers, I believe, he said, does this mean the charter boats are getting another check? He said last year it was 6,500.
No, that will probably be all they're getting, because it was we had to use a matrix, and what we did was use a matrix to figure out how much that they had lost in that year.
Right.
And see, we can only pay you for what you lost in 19.
Right.
I can't pay you for what you lost after 19.
Okay.
All right.
Even though it was affected, you can't pay
for it. Even though
you
were affected, I can't. They won't let me pay for that. And we run that, and there was X amount of dollars, and I don't remember what it was that was put into the pot for charter boats. And that was what was approved by NOAA. And I wished I could give him a lot more. I wished I could help everybody.
Right.
But that.
And y'all just did y'all's best to divvy it out.
Well, we gave them what we saw. And, you know, the shrimp industry, for somebody, you got to think about that. If somebody lost $300,000 that year, mm-hmm. and we can give them $100,000.
Yeah.
You know.
It's not a lot, but it's more than we had.
It's better than nothing. And
tell Matt I'm sorry. I wish I could give him more.
Well, the first phase included the charter boat captains.
That's right.
The oyster guys and the shrimpers.
Right. And we're also, and we're including, right now we're about to go out with the processors.
Okay. So like seafood factories and stuff like that.
Now, we can't give them money for what they lost in money, but what we're doing with that is we're going to give them money to help buy new equipment to build themselves a better way of being able to compete with the other forces out there, like Louisiana, because a lot of our shrimp processing plants are antiquated as far as their equipment and everything else. And so if we can give somebody $500,000 to go in there and upgrade his equipment,
right,
then that's going to help him be able to be more competitive.
Yeah, so you can't give him actual money, but we can't upgrade what you got going on.
I think that's what you – did you say kind of that's what Louisiana was doing?
Yeah, they're doing that too, and we are also doing it with the fishermen, you know, like a commercial fisherman. If they needed a piece of equipment like a new type of Lowrance system or whatever you want to call it, if up to $2,000, they can get up to $2,000 to be able to replace a piece of equipment. So we're helping them with that too.
Yeah. How many phases is that program? Is it second, third phase? How many phases do you think?
Well, when you say phases, we got divisions in it. It's about 10 divisions in it that we go through, and I don't have them in front of me. But we can get something to you on if you ever want to look at it. But it's basically broken out how much money goes to each one.
Right.
All right. And then like the situation, the charter boats, it was easy to go back and just do theirs. All right. That it was easy to do some of the others. Now, when we got to the shrimp and oysters, it wasn't easy because we only had so much money. And then we had to figure out what the loss was. And then we had to figure out a ratio of where we could stop at, and the 108,000 was where we could stop at.
Right.
That was, and that, if we give if we do that, we're going to make almost 90% of the shrimpers whole for that year.
Right.
So there's a 10% that's not going to get whole.
Yeah.
Would are those applications still out? Can you still apply? The application date's over with, right? Yeah. Been over with.
It's over with. Now, we are looking at it because some people thought that they didn't get a chance to, or didn't realize and or didn't apply or didn't understand. And so they want to know if we would do a second round. And we told them after we sit down and look at what we're doing and if we have any additional money left, mm-hmm. we will definitely do that and mm-hmm. look at it.
That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine.
That's fair. I know this is probably a complex answer, but what, in your opinion, would be maybe not the cure-all, end-all, be-all solution to this, but what would be the a good step, one, two, three steps moving forward to not fix maybe, but help this issue?
I think that finding another way to divert the water
okay,
before it gets to the Bonnie Carey. Because that's where the issue is. The Bonnie Carey is an old system, and you know it even and it seeps water. You know, probably 5,000 gallons a day or minute or whatever.
Just leaking.
She's a little leaky. She's a little leaky.
Well, yeah. It's just columns.
Right.
And all this,
right.
Post. It's right. Like creosote post almost.
But it ain't watertight.
Right.
And you know, it's like railroad ties, but it's bigger than that. But anyway, long story short, having some way to find a way to do that. Also. You know, they looked at dredging the Mississippi.
Make her deeper so
make
she can hold
deeper
more.
Make it deeper so it can hold more water. But now...
That's a lot.
Well, the problem there goes, it's going to get to a certain level anyway, and then it's going to stay there on a normal day-to-day basis. No matter how deep you dredge it, it's going to get to a certain level
right.
where it's going to be at. Mm. Well, now that would just keep it from when it got over to a certain top of it. You know, it could help a little bit. They've already dredged the mouth some, and that was some money that... that Cindy Hyde Smith, Senator Cindy Hyde Smith, helped get the money to do that. And Murtis Frank, I don't know if you know Miss Murtis, it's her right hand down here. Boy, she put in a good word and got that done. She did a great job.
It was filling in, though.
Yeah.
Right at the mouth. It was
yeah.
it was that
dead zone.
Shallow. Yeah.
It's that dead zone now, mm-hmm. you know. And when you ask the question, number one, finding a way to divert the water because I don't see us tearing down levees. And I doing anything else. But we got to do something that stops that water when it hits somewhere around Baton Rouge and when it starts south to be able to alleviate the pressure.
Yeah.
And how do we alleviate that pressure? Anything south of that doesn't have anything to do with us, really.
Okay.
You know, because you can open up all the things you want south of that. That's still not stopping the pressure.
Right. It's coming down.
The pressure's
down.
Coming. Right. And the pressure's coming from, you know, till it gets there. So whatever point that you go south of where you're having an issue, it's probably only going to just do, if it did anything, it'd be minimal.
Right.
And so we got to find a way. That would be my say that we could work at. And now, once again, it's going to take 10 years to get that done.
At least.
You got to go through environmentals. You got to go through everything else. And. You know,
which is crazy because, like, if you buy a piece of land, the amount of litigation or you know, you can't do anything wetlands related for just a commercial piece of property, but we can open up a spillway and destroy
wipe it all out.
Kind of stuff, you know. And then you're saying to correct the problem is going to be 10 years of potential litigation, studies,
design
whatever.
Work, yeah.
Right. I mean, I kind of understand it, but it's just almost comical in a way, you know. It's like, We need to do something a little quicker than that, but
well, we don't, you know, and once again, EPA and the Corps and everyone else has their own rules.
Right. We need to streamline.
Is there any kind of way to? I know this sounds kind of crazy. It's billions of gallons of water, but with scrubbers, like something in between there to pull the nutrients out, almost like that forest. Is anything like that possible?
I don't know that it's always possible. There's nothing.
Right. Cost and maintenance.
You know, but when you think of scrubbers, you know, kind of like what we use to get the oil.
Right.
That's a little different. These nutrients are minute little particles.
Tiny, right.
And there's so much of it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could. Yeah, I guess there's always something that could be done. Mm. Is there a screen you could put in there that would hold it? I don't know.
What would work is if we had some kind of organism that lived in a shell that filtered water.
Like an oyster?
I don't know if that's the same
oyster.
Yeah, right.
A freshwater oyster.
Hey, I'm going to tell you something real quick, too. Working with a group of people, and I won't say anything about it right now because they're doing their own. But they're trying to grow a hybrid oyster.
What?
That will live in less than 5 parts per thousand of salinity. And it started out, they had like 1,500 oysters that they put in there. And the oysters out of that, 20 of them lived.
Okay. And good start.
That's the survivors.
As they said, that's 20 athletes.
That's right.
That's the studs.
And then they took those studs and they started breeding off of them. And now they got over 4 million.
Really?
If you can turn a wolf into a French bulldog, I think we can turn a saltwater oyster into a freshwater
oyster.
But
what this will do with two things. It will help us to be able to, in case the Bonnie Carey does open, and you know that it will help us if we get that type of oyster in our system, it will help us to do that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll turn around and they'll have a better survivability rate. And then plus it'll also open up some areas that have never been opened.
To oysters.
Yeah, like some of the bay areas, mm-hmm. you know, that we could possibly do because the salinity's less than what would be desired to grow an oyster. So
right.
There's a lot of things that could happen mm-hmm. here.
We need to put a line straight from Mississippi line all the way down, all the way past the islands.
Yeah.
Nothing but these low voltage oysters.
Low volt. I like that term. If you know those guys, you didn't name names, and that's fine. I appreciate it. Could you just make sure that those taste good, that they're growing?
Well, you'd have to put some salt on it.
That's one thing he told me. He said, they're not going to get a salty one.
Well, we'll figure it out. Like you said, we got salt.
Pink Himalayan salt.
Yeah. We'll just crisp them up.
You know, I'm sure you can do it like you do whenever you take a crawfish and you put it in the water and kind of clean it out. You could put that at oyster in some water with salt in it, let it suck it in a little bit.
We might could boil him with Zatarain's.
Yeah. Fry him and put salt on it, man. It's the same thing.
You're right. Well, we appreciate you being in here today.
Sir.
I knew this was going to be a good conversation. Before we wrap things up, though, we mentioned it. You said, Joey, two more?
We got two more. It's probably going to be one for snapper, one's going to be for shrimp season.
Right.
Okay. What just real quick, give us some points, bullet points or whatever that the DMR is focused on other than what we've just talked about today for people that are listening. You know, hot button issues, something that's always on your desk that y'all are dealing with.
Well, one of the major things we're focusing on right now is being able to get the on bottom oysters leased out for people to be able to lease and grow their own, because that's going to be huge. Because if you know, I can't take 20,000 acres and be able to cult it and do what needs to be done to it for the state of Mississippi.
But if we
get enough people out there that are doing it and they're doing it for a private business, then they can put their own money into it and then they can make the money off the oysters. 100% of it go to them. You know, the oysters itself is theirs, except for, 25, 30 cents a sack or something that they get to pay.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at that, that's one thing. And hopefully we're going to get things passed in legislation again. They're working on that. And once that happens, then we'll update our rules and regs and DMR to be able to get it out. I hope that I can get it out to where we can start leasing these things and get them ready for the fall season so they can have be able to set. That's one major thing. The other thing is that we're looking at what it takes to rebuild the estuary. We're losing over 200 acres of wetlands a year. In Mississippi, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we ain't got a whole lot of coast.
Yeah, and so what we're trying to do is work at what we can do to rebuild it. We're buying areas. I think if you saw it the other day, we bought several different areas across the coast. It's basically wetlands that we can maintain and guarantee.
Okay.
That somebody will, you know, and one of the things that we're looking at, when DMR buys property, it will be property from here out that is something that is going to be impacted by the estuary and not something that's going to stop somebody from being able to build on. Because if it was going to be able to build on it, then we don't need to stop it.
Right.
And so that's what we're looking at. Secretary of State and I are working hand in hand on a lot of that state, and he is doing a great job trying to understand, you know, for the business of people.
He's one of the guys that I believe we reached out at one point, and he said yes. I hate to speak out of turn, but Secretary of State, Mike Watson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Get him on the show. Yeah, come sit in here when he's on the coast and talk with him as well. So he'd be another good one.
The other thing that we're working on is we're trying to figure out what we can do to bring the price of shrimp back.
Yeah.
Because our shrimpers can't afford to go out and pay $5 a gallon for fuel to go out and shrimp and come back and get 60 cents a pound. They can't make it. They can't live.
Imports are killing us.
And we're trying to work with Congress and other places and others to be able to find a way. there's certain embargoes that we could do or certain taxes that we could do or one way we could work it work to where we could stop that. One of the things I would love to see that especially in South Mississippi, could you put on there is this Gulf Fresh.
Right.
I thought
there was a sticker that you could show up or
you
something
do,
like
but,
that.
But you don't have to.
Right.
And in other words, whenever you walk into that restaurant, and that restaurant, whoever it is, I won't name one because I don't want to get in trouble for picking
right.
one on the other. But if you go into that restaurant and if it says Gulf Fresh, then they have to serve you Gulf Fresh is what they're serving. But if it says import, at least you know it.
See, now you correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought there was, do you, if I ask the restaurant, do they have to tell me? Is that?
I don't know if that's true or not.
90%
of the time, that person waiting on the table is not
going
to know.
Well, correct.
They don't have a clue.
For sure about that.
And, but now Louisiana has this.
Yes.
And now they do have it like for catfish. It has to say, is it American or imported?
Okay.
It's that stamp that,
the Vietnamese.
Well, it's no, Tony Satcheries. I
know what you're talking about. The Louisiana, the Cajun.
Cajun certified. So they Louisiana have, certified.
There you go.
Yeah.
They have that for like seasonings. Some of the guys that we've talked to in the seasonings world, right. They have
Justin
a stamp.
Wilson.
Correct.
Justin Wilson.
Correct. Yeah. They have that. And he's not the only one that
no,
has
but it's,
that
it's got to go in front of the board and they have to give you an actual stamp that says, okay, this is made from Louisiana products. It's made actually here in Louisiana. Here's your stamp.
Correct.
Well, and one of the things we do is we sponsor a lot of things year round and we use money that we get grants from the federal government and other to do. And it's Gulf Fresh.
Right. Right.
And, you know, we're going to sponsor the Billfish Tournament. We're
yes,
going
sir.
To be a sponsor in it. And one of the things we're going to do is give out things about Gulf Fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and we like to call it Gulf Fresh America Seafood.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we used to be the seafood capital of the world.
Yeah. I was just fixing to say
and,
that.
And, you know, I don't know how we're going to ever get back to that point, but there's a way. If you're not trying, you're not going to get there.
There you right. go.
And so we're sponsoring that. We sponsor some other things, even Cruising the Coast. We had a huge response from Cruising the Coast last year.
Mm-hmm.
We was one of the title sponsors. Well, what we did is we gave out stuff all the time. We had prime locations all over the Gulf Coast that they would let us be at. To give out information about Gulf Fresh seafood and how good it is. And we went to Centennial Plaza, and for about 5 days there, we gave out Gulf Fresh seafood. We gave out boiled shrimp. We sat there and boiled them on the spot and gave samples.
You changed a bunch of lives that day.
If I'd have known, we'd have showed up and said we was from Michigan and let you explain it to us while we ate all your shrimp.
But we gave people samples, and I tell you what, it was a huge hit.
Right.
And, you know, the idea is after Bonnie Carey happened in 2019, a lot of America thinks Mississippi seafood's not safe. We got to get that back.
Yep.
And how you get it back is advertising and getting the word. When you take somebody like Cruising the Coast, when you got 100,000 people down here and, you know, and
a big audience.
Yeah. You know, that's coming in and out, and they're coming from all over the United States
right,
of America.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
And you get to talking about fresh seafood and they taste it.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some of them. I got tickled at Louisiana folks. They said, "Well, it don't taste like this in Louisiana." They said, "Dang great, you know."
Yeah, no, especially when it's done right, when it's cooked the right way.
Absolutely,
it's hard to beat. It really is.
Yeah, and that import stuff is not good. Not fun to watch, especially grown in farms. Nasty water, disgusting. Especially, I mean. Our water's not great, but it's definitely cleaner than what they got over there. It's natural.
You know, it's definitely natural.
One other thing we're going to do, too, is, and maybe if you we do that snapper program, that Trevor can talk about this. Trevor Minecreef, he's over Fin Fish for us, and he understands that. And
he was here for the recreation offshore.
Yeah, the landing permit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm not sure if it'll be him or who, but – anyway, what we want to talk about there is what's happened to Mississippi in the last year or so with our snapper allocation. All right. You know, we went down from 150 something thousand pounds to 62,000 last year. I rolled the dice because NOAA, it went out and the SSC, which are the scientists that pick what they, you know, to say that this is the best available science and approved by the Gulf Council said that we could go to 82,000 pounds. Well, I rolled the dice that they would make that work you know, and they'd get it passed last year, but it didn't. So now they get, now the question is, they're going to take my 82, my, we wound up with 80, so they're going to, we're at about an 18,000-pound deficit. Are they going to take that away from us?
Right.
But I'm fighting with them about that, and not really fighting with them, just working with them. Andy Spellcheck is trying to help me with Noah and with NIMPS, and they're working with me on it, and they're trying to do things. And the Gulf Council last week, everybody was like, you know what, we understand, you know, and we understand what happened. We didn't exceed the Gulf limit. So why should we have to pay it back? And that's what we're working on. Anyway, that's one. And then the other thing is that we're, you know, we've been doing tails and scales.
Yes, sir. Right.
Well, it seems that Louisiana L.A. Creole has been the best thing. So we got a Noah gave us a grant, us in Alabama, to do a side-by-side L.A. Creole, call it Mississippi Creole, and Alabama Creole.
Yeah, that's what we talked about. When
And so that's going to be huge if we get that done. I think it's going to change the world of what we're doing. So that's just a 30,000 foot shot.
Yes, sir. Yeah. No, I love to hear that. I love to also hear about how, you know, it's cool to see where, like, especially if the like younger people in our audience, I mean, science is important. You know, the stuff that USM, Mississippi State, that they do, the looking at this and trying to get good data, that's the thing, is knowing what we're doing and not overestimating, underestimating, overfishing or underfishing for recreational guys and commercial guys alike. You know, it's a really good thing.
And I think in before you, I think DMR was kind of in the dark with the public. Like
why we started chasing y'all down.
Yeah, they kind of stayed to themselves, and now it's kind of open, and now we're you're not the bad guys anymore, if that makes any sense.
We work for y'all.
Right.
Y'all don't work for us. We work for y'all.
Correct. And like I said before we went on the live, you know, letting people know more than just the law enforcement side of what y'all do. You know, a lot of times that may be their only encounter, is if they get pulled over for some reason.
I didn't have a life jacket. They wrote me a ticket.
Right. Or whatever. Why is the season this long? Well, y'all didn't completely make that decision,
correct,
right? Like, you know, you want it to be as long as the record guys do.
But and a lot of things, we got to get law enforcement in here, and and let them do one, because a lot of people,
Jeff Payne our way. See if he'll come on there for
a lot. A lot of people don't realize if you're in a kayak, you have to have a life preserver.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And a whistle, right?
And forever, that was never there.
Where does that start? Is that that's not in the rivers?
It's anywhere
in the Mississippi Sound and South Mississippi. It is.
Yeah.
So if, like, you have
a kayak, if you have a kayak in the water, you're supposed to have a life jacket and a noisemaker.
South of the interstate for sure.
Right.
Well, I didn't have the life jacket. My wife was with me, and she makes a lot of noise.
Well, so I don't know how.
Well, I mean, and you know what? That's an understanding, because you didn't know.
I didn't.
Right.
I did not know that.
And,
I'll be honest
with
you.
There's a lot of little things.
Regardless of age?
Yeah.
Okay. I did not know that.
Regardless of age, I'm pretty sure that's right. Yeah, but and it's just like that.
Yeah, you don't have to have it on. If you're a 12 and under,
correct,
you have to have it on.
I did not know that.
Yeah, you have to have one on you in the kayak.
I love doing this show because I learned.
If you're in your boat and you're 12 and under, you got to have a life jacket.
I knew that. Correct. Yes, sir. I knew that. Yeah.
But anyway, a lot of things that, you know, we got a great Marine Patrol Department, and they would love to come on here, and Bryce and Kyle and any of them, Jeffrey, any of them, you know, they'd love to come on here and talk to you about it and tell you what we're doing. And they're out there to help you. They're not out there to
correct,
hurt you.
And that's what this is helping a lot, because a lot of people see DMR as, oh God, there they are, let me act right on the water. They're not trying to do that to you. They're trying to make sure you get back the same way you left with.
Yeah, we had Keith Wilson dropped a comment I just had on the screen. I'm going to read it off real quick. He makes a good point about the Gulf Fresh that you were talking about earlier. He said, food for thought. He said, those markings on the products are most likely for marketing purposes through funding provided via the Farm Bill. He said that he worked for Southern U.S. Trade Association in New Orleans, and that was a requirement for small business applicants for promoting their agricultural products. They had to say on their product packaging and marketing, made in the USA, or whatever southern state it was made in, to receive a certain amount of marketing reimbursement.
Correct.
Okay, thank you, Keith, for that comment. And we've heard, again, I'm not an expert on this, but I have heard, I don't remember who we've had on the show before, but they talk about how companies kind of manipulate that packaged in the U.S., right. even though it was imported.
Yeah.
It could be imported from, say, wherever country, I don't care, and then it's packaged here, so then they say it's like
distributed in Louisiana.
Distributed in the U.S. Or it's a way to trick the consumer. So,
well, and that's what I always say, Gulf Fresh.
Right. So
that means it had to be caught, had to come from the Gulf.
Is that?
And it has to be Wild Gulf.
Is that an official tag yet?
It is.
Okay. And how do you get that stamped on yours? Through y'all?
How do
you qualify for that stamp?
I don't know it 100%, but I know that the processors and all want that.
Okay.
Because if they get put that on there, that makes it a whole lot better for them.
Yeah, because everybody's coming out of the wheelhouse trying to find it.
And it's a requirement, like you said, for them to say that if it was imported or whatever, but there is some loopholes in there that others could do say it was packaged in Mississippi, but they can't put Gulf Fresh on there.
Okay. So that's the thing. We need, as our audience and to promote that is Gulf Fresh. That's the label you need to look
for. We need a sticker.
Yeah, exactly.
And it needs to come while restaurants doing it.
Correct. Yes. Correct.
And, once they start doing it, the processors are given
away. And the people that flock to those restaurants and don't go to the other ones.
It's like a new hat or a cool shirt. Like once one person starts wearing it, everybody wants to be a part of it then.
It's like anything else. When you eat a shrimp that was grown in the Gulf of Mexico, it just has a different flavor.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. And it just looks different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're supporting a huge part of the culture and heritage around here.
And one of our things, there's nothing against them, but a lot of the casinos, they don't buy their own shrimp. They are big national companies.
Right.
And it gets
shipped in whatever they get. Yeah.
And I'm sure they'd love to help us. They'd love to do anything in the world they could.
Mm-hmm.
But
we need to write that in the next one and you start talking to them.
Two I know that do nothing but Gulf Fresh.
Really?
It's casinos. Can you say it?
Nah.
All right.
We'll look it up.
Offline, I might let you know what it is.
That's right. Yeah, that's fine. That's right. I can respect that.
I don't want to throw a hatchet at any of
them. I understand. We can understand that for sure. I tell you what we will do, Joey, though, is we need to get some seafood processors. I never even thought about that until you just said that. That would be a great conversation to hear it from their perspective.
Yeah, you take the Wally Galatz and you take the Mark Marvers and the Jonathan and McClendon, and then you go over to the east side and you got west side, and you the Mike Cures and the Kendall Marquars, I'm just naming a few, but I mean, I don't want to leave anybody out.
Yes,
there's a lot of them, but I mean, there's a lot of names out there. So, if you could get one or two of them in here and talk about it.
I never crossed my mind.
We stared at Galatz the entire time with our fishing tournament this week.
That's right.
Right across the street. So.
Yeah, we need to get on. If anybody in the comments knows, tag them. Let them know we'd love to talk to them.
And they several different families of Galatz.
Yeah.
For sure.
There's like a pile of them. Yeah. A pile of them.
Well, sir, we appreciate you coming in here and talking to us. Every conversation we've had with you definitely has been great. And the partnership with the DMR is really, we're proud of it.
Absolutely.
Proud
to be a part of that. We're glad we could be y'all's voice to the public.
We want to do, as I told you earlier, I'd like to do at least a program a month if I could.
Yes, sir.
If we can work that in your schedule, we'll work it in ours.
We will make that happen.
That way we can bring up more things as they come in.
Correct. Yeah, and we want to get as nerdy as, I told this to Trevor when he was on the show, we want to get as nerdy as y'all are willing to get, like especially on the science part and how the science correlates to the regulations, because, I mean, selfishly I want to know, but I feel like the audience, if there's a guy I can run into out on the island somewhere or fishing that knows more about the why behind the what we do, I don't see how that's going to be anything
and,
but good.
It might be a situation to where, we have a House and then we have a Senate representative in Jackson.
Yes, sir.
And maybe they want to come in and talk about what's happening with you.
We've had a couple of those guys.
Yeah, we've had them on.
Representatives, maybe not as specific on the committees as we could get, especially with your help. We'd love to have that as well. But, yeah, we want to have the total picture of what's going on and then get more people involved. I mean, maybe they hear something and they don't like what they heard. Then by all means, they'll show up to maybe some of y'all's.
Or the derelict crab trap
that y'all had. Yeah. Right.
Had a good turnout for that.
Oh, yeah. We do every year.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of people. We do the cleanups, where we go out and do Deer Island and we do, the beach cleanup and other places. And people show up and do it. And most of that's set up by private individual companies.
Right.
And we just help them out.
Right.
But they're out there to help us do that. And so that's great.
Well, they should. As many people as on Deer Island Sunday, there was 50 boats out there. You should have 100 cleaning it up.
That's right. That's right. You're not wrong there.
Well, that may have been cleaning it up.
That's right. Well, look, we mentioned it on the last time, though. You this is your second career. So retired from the military, did a lot of years in the military for us. So we want to thank you for that as well. Somebody mentioned it in the comments earlier is why I'm bringing it up. Are you enjoying retirement?
Well,
working as much as you do?
Yeah. It you know, when I after 34 years in the Air Force, I thought I'd retire, but I decided that
sitting at home don't look like it probably suits you too well. I don't think
doing work for my wife for free for something I don't want to do.
Honeydews.
Might as well get paid for something you enjoy.
But this happened to just fall into back in 2013 when we had the big shakeup with DMR.
Yes, sir.
Just fell in. And never dreamed of doing this.
Well, sometimes I think those are the people for the job. When you go back and look through history,
yep.
You know, the guy that was the right man for the job at the right time. So I appreciate everything you're doing for us because it represents the community that we love the most, you know, here on the Gulf Coast.
And I did emergency management before that.
Yeah. So you've dealt with the whole gamut.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I took over Harrison County the day Katrina hit.
Yeah. Welcome. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Yeah. I think we talked about that the last time you were here. So
Cat 5/6, whatever it was.
Whatever it was, 6/7, who knows. Yeah. But yeah. Well, look, we appreciate it once again. Thanks everybody for watching on the live and listening on the replays. If y'all stay tuned, like we said, we got two more coming up with DMR. We got a bunch of stuff.
We'll rock them out once a month.
We got something coming up Wednesday. What do we got? Do you remember?
Sword.
Is that the virtual one we got coming up?
No, that's your girl.
Oh yeah, the End It for Good. Yeah. That's right. We're gonna be talking about drug policies on Wednesday. So another issue that affects the Gulf Coast in a big way. So y'all stay tuned. Thanks again for watching, and we'll see you on the next one.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank y'all.
Thanks so much for checking out the show. We really appreciate the support. If you haven't downloaded the Brownwater Banter app yet, go do it. It's free in the App Store and on Google Play. We have everything covered for a day out on the water. We've got the tides, the radar, Tails and Scales app. We've got a radio station right inside of it, and it's all free. All of our content is in there. You can listen to the show directly inside of the app. Make sure you keep your notifications turned on so you can stay in touch with us as we go live with guests in the future and plan events. If y'all keep tuning in, we'll keep doing them. We'll see you on the next one. Brown Water Bay.